All right, so today we're continuing a three-part series on mentoring. And one of the interesting parts about this, it matches the mural in the back. And several years ago, I sat down with a guy who happens to be here today. Devin and I sat down and created that mural. And he was going to be the art guy. And I'm like, well, here are the things that I think are important. And we just put them in order and just rolled them out. And then a few years later, I realized that 1, 2, 3 is salvation. 4, 5, 6 is freedom. And 7 and 8 are redemption. And it just fell out that way, which is always encouraging when it overlaps and you can see it. So number 4 is connection. And number 5 is engagement. And these are 8 things that we believe if you do them, if you do these 8 things, we call it the path. If you do these 8 things, you will find abundant life. You will find fulfillment. So number 4, step 4 is connection. Step 5 is engagement. Connection is just, could be a group, a coffee. Engagement is something missional, something outside of yourself. And then ultimately, the 8th step is mentoring or leadership or investment. And so I tell you that because last week we talked about intersection, finding a space. We talked about Paul and Crispus and Sosthenes and those people that he just had these intersections with, and they came to know Jesus through the whole thing, came to be baptized. And so today, without any intersection, there's nothing else. It's like the door, right? So without any intersection, there's nothing else. But once you have an intersection or opportunity to intersect, then you have the opportunity to invest and then influence. And I think it's important today that both of those go together. Investment and influence. Recognizing that when we put something into somebody, then there is the opportunity, the openness for investment. Now, this came to me yesterday in an email from Kerry Newhoff. He's a Canadian podcaster, Christian guy. And it came to me, and it talked about engaging older Christians. He said, let's say those over 50, which offended me. I was offended, right? So I am an older Christian, I guess, okay? So I'm reading this.
Arth and I have a couple years.
We're good. So it says this. It says, over 50 adults are not a demographic to be appeased. They're a demographic to be mobilized. When church leaders cater to appeasing needs, they miss the mission potential of a generation. Speaking to me now, the older Christian, he says, you aren't the mission. The mission is the mission. You can fill, I thought this was uniquely profound. You can fill your life with activity, or you can fill your life with purpose. It's your choice. I'm choosing purpose, is what he said. So I wasn't sure. I told him this morning, I said, I'd like to share that. I'm not sure where I'm going to fit it in. Well, I fit it in. There it is, right? So for us to recognize that the mission is the mission and mobilizing a generation of people that don't, I mean, okay, you don't have to sound off out loud, but should there be anyone here that's the older Christian over 50, okay, I'll speak for you, right? Don't we say that, man, I wish I had the wisdom when I had the energy. Now I got the wisdom and don't have the energy, right? All those kinds of things, right? But we can put those things together and make a difference. So as we begin our conversation, I want to take us to Matthew 6, and it's in the Message. And it's entitled, A Life of God Worship. A Life of God Worship. That's Psalms, so we're going to read the Message if you want to do the Message. Whatever, Matthew 6. Or it doesn't have to be up there, no worries. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. And then he says this, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and where you will end up being. So that last little bit, the place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and ultimately where you will end up being. So for us to recognize that we can fill our life with activity, or we can fill our life with purpose, and in a community of faith, we have the opportunity to fill our life with purpose by investing in other people and taking the things that we have learned and giving them as gifts to other people. So you're going to get to sit in essentially on a Christway Connect podcast today, because that's what we're doing right here. We sit around the table every month, and on Wednesdays we drop a new podcast every week at Christway Connect, if it's on Podbean or however you listen to podcasts. And I hope you're accessing that. I hope it's meaningful for you. I hope it's helpful. We're putting our heart in it and wanting it to be something meaningful. So I asked these two guys to join me today. Not only are they pastors here in our faith community, but they have had ministry experiences in other places and different parts of the country and all kinds of different ministries. So I wanted to bring that here and leverage that and just have this conversation. So when we talk about investment and influence, people in your life that have fed into that and made you who you are today as a minister, what comes to mind? What are you thinking about?
We have to mention your parents. At least I have to mention my parents.
Because they're here.
They're here. You know, I can't not mention them. Hours of seeing mom pray on her knees and faithfulness and serving and all that. So that was like a great foundation. But they're also people that, until I was old enough to be wise enough to recognize they were investing in them, I might have just thought them as friends. So they're that math I've done sometimes where it's like, am I investing in you or are you investing in me? Or are we just friends? Or am I getting, you know, so that kind of measurement sometimes creeps into my mind, but usually because I'm enjoying that relationship. And then there are those that I like knew at the time were investing in me and then realized how much more so later. Like one of them is actually Link. He's not here today, but Link gave me my first paycheck. Yeah, he paid me to help him renovate one of his very first accounting building. And I remember that I did some stuff wrong. And then he invested in grace with grace. And that includes like when he...
Let's take note that Link invested with grace. Let's think about that for a second.
Yeah. So, I remember one time I did a window and I didn't do it right. And it was a big mess. And he just gracefully, we fixed it. And it was okay. And so that's like one of those people that have been pivotal. And another one is...
Well, let me say, too, with respect to Link, even though he's not here, when I think about the church community and I think about the path, he is one of the people, for sure, that does all 8 steps. He just does them over and over and over. And apparently he's done them for a long time.
Yeah. Knowing him for a long time, it was something that he has improved upon. Those things are things that we all grow in. And even being in a relationship with somebody for a long time, you get to see growth, and that's exciting. Another one for me... this is before I even went into ministry and really had any wisdom to know, but I had a lady who, she allowed me into her space at work while I was in college. And college was difficult. There was struggled with depression. All the who am I, where am I going, what am I doing, what do I value, all that kind of stuff happens when you're in your 20s, right? So she invited me to be in her space, and I could come to her office during class because I drove into college. I didn't live on campus. So she gave me a place to have debrief conversations, have lunch, take a nap. Her husband got me another job because he was an engineer, and they allowed me into their home. And
so this wasn't a scheduled thing where I'll see you Tuesday at 10. This was just an open door opportunity.
This was an open door. I almost had keys to their space. So it was always this place. And, you know, when you're in the space, you might not realize how impactful that is. I don't know that I did until later in life where I was like, man, if it wasn't for Judy, I would have been lost during that. Like, I would have felt lost at that time. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know where to go because I didn't want to drive home. So I had a place on campus where somebody spoke positive words of encouragement. I mean, it was like having a second mom is what it was like. And that spoke to me. And obviously, you kind of know that you hear some things that your mom says better from somebody besides your mom.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, you know, exactly. So that was such a value. And I don't know that I would have noticed. I didn't notice that when it was happening. But now I couldn't have been here without that. So
you mean that statement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I couldn't have been here without that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, because I was in a place where I came out of a serious depression and wasn't interested in God. I was lost. I was kind of in a fog, didn't know where I was going, and she gave me
space
yeah. to have all that,
and
I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, I think about I've heard, you know, when you're 14, you don't know what you want to be, you just know what you don't want to be, and it's your parents, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be that. So what a critical time for mentors and for us to expect that the people in need are going to come call the church and knock on the door is slightly silly, right? And I don't think that's what we're called to do. We weren't called to wait ye therefore, right? Go ye therefore, right? So that's the idea. How about you, man?
Well, testing. All right, I'm here. For me, the investment began very early. So the first time I ever played in a service, I was
18 months old or something?
4 years old. I was 4 years old. And I hit a time where at 6 years old, I became my church's drummer. And there's only one person that I can think of. Where is he at? No, there's two. I believe Larry Comer was there, and I believe Brian Stewart, my uncle, was there. And so I was 6 years old playing the drums. And my other uncle, Patrick, I call him Uncle Pete, I talk about him a lot. He went to my father, and I'm this child prodigy on the drums. And he's like, that boy doesn't need to be on the drums. So my parents flipped their lid, and my father had been a drummer and was this amazing singer, and they're like almost insulted. And he told me at 6 years old, you're not a drummer, you're a piano player. And so he invested in me and he bought me a keyboard that I didn't know how to play. And within 6 months, I was playing it. So my parents' investment, they were like, oh my God, we got this kid genius. They just started going, this is not a lie. They started just going and buying random instruments to see if I could play them. And I would play them and my sister Shannon would break them.
She was tired.
Because she gets sick of hearing me play them. So investment started in me at a very young age, and unlike what you said, I knew at least part of what I was going to be very young. But I didn't really understand the fruit of that from a kingdom sense, a professional sense, and even the seriousness of it beyond doing it just in the four walls of the church until one person, and they happened to be here today, opened my eyes to that. And that was my Uncle Brian. I don't know if he remembers, but he's the first person to ever pay me to play. So I'm 11 years old, and he's nice, but I got to tell you how he came to me. He was Michael Jordan of Terre Haute at the time, so I thought he was the Christ. I really did. And so I'm fresh off of coming from a family reunion where I saw him dunk and tear the rim out of the backboard. So I really thought of him as the greatest pinnacle of everything. He's driving a 91 Saab at the time. I just thought, I'm telling you. So he comes to me and he says, I have a wedding coming up. And he sat me in his car, I'll never forget it, and he did not talk to me like a child. Not in a way that was harmful, because he was very protective of me in the situation, but he sat and put his hand on my leg and he said, listen, man, I'm going to be on you about this. We're going to rehearse these songs. You're going to learn them because this is an opportunity for you to show the gifts that you have. I don't know if he remembers it. And well, you're getting old, man, but it's okay.
No. Over 50 Christians.
Listen, I don't know what this means to kids now, but in the 90s, when somebody lays a 20 down on your leg, man, I was like, I'm rich! And he invested in me, and he talked to me, and we listened to music. He's the person in my life that actually gave me musicians to listen to and gave me jazz to listen to and challenged me and showed me videos. And so he was making an investment in something that I didn't even see in myself. And I had that in the men in my family. They were all musicians and singers. And so they would constantly pour into me. So there's much, and I can truly say this, that is the fruit of their conversation with me 10 years ago when I was 11.
Yeah.
That short time ago when I was real young. And they put those things into me and installed them into me, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't use them. The other person that invested in me, I would say the most outside of my family, is many people know him in this congregation, Danny Tanous. Danny Tanous was the former superintendent of schools in Vigo County. He also was the former principal of Farrington Grove Elementary, where I went. And he was very hard on me, but he would always treat me like an adult. And I remember he would come in to our lunchroom and he'd say, Arnick, you have straight A's, but you have C's in conduct. Why don't you come to my office and let's talk this out? That investment in me still matters in my character today and who I am and what I teach to my own sons. And so it was those people that kind of laid that on me. That's a long-winded answer.
We talk about being a face in someone's story, right? That's what we're talking about, these people, right? What, Donna, as I said?
Judy,
I'm sorry. And Danny Tanous. And family. So positioning ourselves to be a face in someone's story. When I was in college, I just wanted some extra money. And we weren't really allowed to work. It was a military college, you know, we weren't really allowed to work outside of that. But I hustled it on the weekend and talked to a guy in a church and I said, hey, you got any work for me? He was a farmer. Contractor, built huge houses. And I said, you got anything I could do? Yeah, man, you come out and clear land for me. I was 19 years old. I'm like, I'm in, right? So I went out there and beautiful farm and this house, and I'd go out in a side hill and just cut stuff down, clear land. He didn't need that land cleared at all. I didn't find that out for years. He didn't need that a bit. I showed up at that church living for Jesus, but not really. I just had a relationship with the church. In my college years, those first couple years, particularly that first one, that relationship with the church doesn't hold any water. Yeah. So I blew out. And it was in my sophomore, junior year that I connected with this guy. And he was just a good old boy, and I thought I could connect with him. It didn't, in my mind, it didn't have anything to do with church or Jesus. And I don't know what they thought. I don't know if I've ever actually asked them what they thought. But that's been 35 years ago. I talked to him yesterday. He called me yesterday. That man is granddaddy, grandmommy for my kids. In fact, they're the only grandparents in my side of the situation that they've known. And through the years, I'd do a little bit of work. He'd pay me for stuff he didn't even need done. And then I'd go eat. And I'd catch an hour nap on the couch and hang out with them, a place to respite. Let me tell you, and this is the truth, absolutely no exaggeration. I've moved, Melinda and I have moved. My parents died when I was a teenager, most of you know that. So my world was kind of flipped on its head. And I would just looking for some type of anchor space. Went to college, went to a couple different colleges, just all over the map. I had to fill out a thing recently for the number of places you've lived since you were 18. It was like 23 different places that I lived. and I'm trying to remember and type stuff in and remember that. The one place that is absolute respite for me, where I can go and all is well in the world, is the front porch of their house. And I'll go so far as to say, as through the years when I needed to find God and talk to God, and I was able to do it because I lived in Maryland or somewhere in the East Coast, I would drive to their house and I would go sit on that front porch swing and I would sit there and talk to God, and God would talk to me. And it came out of this guy opening a space for me, right? Paying me, feeding me. Now, what they did that I know now that I didn't really pick up on at all then is they were embodying, and this is a message for all of us, an opportunity, embodying the love of God for me, the acceptance of God for me. I wasn't the nicest dude ever during those 3 years not following Jesus. I bought into the whole military thing. I was filled with shame and anger. I was a piece of work. And they loved me and provided space for me and helped me. That's something that I want us to be able to realize, that it's really level ground for us here today. Everybody in here has something to offer for someone else. We have an opportunity to go. We have an opportunity to just simply be. And who would those people be for you, right? Who would those people be? So for you guys, how has that, you mentioned you're putting this in your own kids now, right? A lot of those things, we hear their voices, right? Those moments of intersection, we hear their voices and we extend that to their kids. How do you guys think you are paying that forward
the journey from being invested to being
an investor.
So that, I think that really goes through the place where you don't know what's happening, where, you know, you're being invested in and all of a sudden you're, you know, so my first paid ministry, full-time ministry happened and I moved to Montana, and that was, I mean, that's a whole interesting God story, but, and I'm serving in this ministry. That's, you know, I'm 20, 24. I graduated from college. I'm serving in this ministry. 24-year-old Jeremy thinks he's the one who's providing the service. And what 34-year-old Jeremy realized was that was a place for me to develop the skills of ministry. And people gave me grace to let me speak. People gave me grace to let me teach. People gave me grace to let me serve. And in those, I built relationships with people that I could serve in. I got to work with a lot of students, got to meet lots of adults and lead teams and do all these things that the 24-year-old me thought, well, I'm helping out. I'm the one who, and I was, and I did provide, and I did work hard, and I did all those things. But I had a friend that was, he was 20 years older than me. And at the time, Rick was my friend. And that's kind of, that's the context, that we went to the movies together, we did projects together, we went camping together, we went canoeing together, we taught together, we did all these things. It wasn't until later that I realized how much grace he was showing me in the foolish things that I would say and do that, like, you know, you're 24 and you think you know.
So what was your relationship with him? Like, did you work for him? Was he your boss?
He was another guy on the staff. And it was a mission, kind of a mission field. So I had known him from visiting this ranch, this school before. And he said, hey, do you want a job? And I was like, yeah. So that whole God story takes a little while to tell. But, I mean, it was really like God opening doors from the job that Judy and Jim got me, trained me for the job that Rick helped, that I started out at the ranch. I mean, and it was electrical, to train me for the job that I have now. That in the middle, it was learning ministry too. And so Rick was...
All of this feeding together.
Yeah, feeding together. And so, you know...
Did you know?
No, oh, definitely not.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah, right? I definitely didn't realize what was happening. Yeah. I just was like taking the next step. I was trying to do the next right thing and taking the next step, but I didn't realize how many things that God was, I mean, I think of him as a conductor on in an orchestra, a big full orchestra, and here's this God conducting, and these flutes over here start, and in your life something happens, and you don't even realize the significance that that will have until it's passed. And so being able to look back on that is
so our steps, when you're trying to do the next right thing, and our steps are ordered by God, right? So what I'm hearing you bumping along into the furniture trying to do the next right thing.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
Right.
And then God orchestrating stuff, and then other people coming along.
Right.
This symphony.
Yeah. Giving me space and giving me, hey, that, you know, in the orchestra analogy, it's, you might need to tune that string. Huh. You know, you're playing along and great, but you're a little out of tune. And being able to do that in grace, and sometimes that wasn't received, you know, 24, 25, wasn't always received, because I was the one who knew what to do, not the guy who'd been doing it for 20 years.
But what a gift. Here's the gift. Here's the gift we give. When you can come alongside somebody that's not going to receive it well, and they're just not going to receive it well. So what are our options? Don't tell them, and then you got that person doing ministry for the next 20 years? No way, right? That's not healthy.
Right.
So to come alongside and give them the gift of a boundary, of clarity, speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Right?
And you got to be in the space with somebody some time to be able to...
Investing.
To be able to do that.
Yeah, you got to be invested. Yeah.
So, you know, hearing Rick's voice and my... So, you know, you start hearing these people, you hear their voices later, even though maybe you're not in relationship with them. And so then that space also gave me the place to invest in students and other people in the congregation and be able to really just start practicing the things that other people were doing in my life with others. And so then offer jobs. So roll forward and those things have been able to happen.
Yeah, and you've made those your own.
Right. Yeah, just out of... I think sometimes you don't even know that happens until later you realize, oh, this kid that I brought to dig this ditch or rake these leaves or spend time with, take him out to dinner, I only did that. I don't realize that I did that, but I just did that because that's what people have done for me. And
well, Paul said it, right? Yeah. As you've seen me do,
so do. Right.
Yeah, so do. So the idea of... Here's what I hope is happening in these 3 weeks. I hope that we're feeding an awareness. Maybe it's actually turning a light on, like the light wasn't on for you at all. Maybe it's putting a bulb in the socket. There wasn't even a bulb to turn on, right? But you're warming it up a little bit, right? It was on dim and now it's becoming brighter. For us to walk through our days, walk through every day, and I don't think this is worthy of a medal or anything, but that's how I live every day. Every day I'm aware of, listening to, and looking for an opportunity to intersect with somebody. And then in that intersection, is there any opportunity to invest? And we're talking about getting paid, right?
Yeah.
I could just carry a wad of 20s, right? Hit people 20s. No, that's not what we're talking about. Time, yeah, I know.
Words.
Time, words, love, right. Investment. And then you prove yourself trustworthy. You prove yourself valuable for someone. And nobody cares what you know. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is the investment piece that then opens the door for influence. And here's what's beautifully spiritual. And then I want you to talk about how you move this forward. What's beautifully spiritual is it is our ability to redeem moments.
Right.
Like, I come off smart and they're like, wow, that's so helpful. You're so wise and smart. And I walk away and I giggle. And I'm like, I used to be so stupid. I can tell you some other stories. Life-threatening stories when I was 22, right? Moments that I got myself in and I'm like, this is not safe. You know, those kinds of things. And now, at 53, I'm able to just say, hey, you probably don't want to go that way, or maybe you want to go this way, right? Leveraging that stuff, moving that forward, we're able, and this is what's beautiful, the Spirit of God positions us, not just with the information, but with the compassion. That's important. The Spirit of God positions us with the compassion to be received, right? We're not just giving you the diagnosis, take two of these and call me next week. It's not so distant from that. There's heart in it, right? And God, this is what I believe. I believe it deeply in my core. Every single person, I'm trying to make eye contact with every single person. Everybody, God puts us in a position because he wants us there. I trust that 1,000%. He wants you there. And then we can talk about all the reasons it shouldn't be you, except there's a reason that it should be you. And God knows that. And the reason that I've found most often is I have some shared experience and I have a compassion, a kindness. Not the person that just comes in matter of fact and da-da-da-da-da. No, that usually doesn't, that's not investment, right? That's not investment. So how about you, man? How are you moving that forward besides the parenting piece?
I feel exactly the same way that you're speaking of, and it's so funny. As you and Jeremy are talking, I'm sitting and recalling the shift that happened for me personally very quickly between valuing giftedness, being talented, all those things, and switching to a mentor and valuing building connection with people and relationships with people. If I can build connections with people and mentor them and be there for them and have a real connection, I don't have to be a musician. Now, a lot of people think I'm probably not being truthful. I do love music. But the value is what the gifts that we have, no matter what you do, no matter what it is, the value in it is, does it move relationships forward and give other people the opportunity through you, through who God called, to unveil who they are? And at a very young age...
All right, say that again. Yeah. Let people hear that. Yeah. Say that again.
Just what you're doing, who you are, and the gifts you have, the talent you have, or even the blessings that have been bestowed on you by God, do they cause other people to unfold their gifts? If they don't, it's not fruitful. That means that you can be great at something that doesn't matter. And I never wanted to be that. I hit 16 the first time I had to mentor another musician. And it's like I was going to a private Christian school and they just threw a kid at me, teach him to play. And I'm like, what? What was funny about that is he learned to play. He's a musician to this day. He's the first musician I ever mentored. He has gone on to do that for a living. But the value between us had nothing to do with music. It was the conversations where he was depressed and we were able to discuss what that looks like. It was the times that he was having trouble with his parents and troubles in school. And very shortly before him, he was 11, I was 16. I had went through what he went through.
Which is a point I was thinking about right then. You know, 16 years old, likely not the fount of all knowledge and wisdom. However.
To an 11-year-old.
Yeah, you just got to be smarter than them, right? That's all you got to be. Just smarter than they are. That's all you got to do, yeah. So the idea is some of it for teenagers here. You're just journeying with them. It is okay to look at somebody and offer something, and then they hit you with something else. You're like, I don't know, but we can pray. We can be here together.
Right.
We can walk through that space.
Yeah, and that developed over time, and the music became less and less a part of the desire to just be in people's lives. And I don't want to be a hypocrite about it. I want to be honest. There are times in your life, because of your own experiences, that you don't value those connections. You want privacy and you feel like you've given of yourself. But if you can remember that you're not doing it to check a box, that it is a real relationship and connection, and take into consideration and empathize with the fact that there are people that may be having the same experience that you are.
My uncle will tell you, you don't have to talk to everybody after this, but I didn't get mentored by musicians. Musicians that I played with at 16 don't necessarily like a guy at 16 on the keys telling 30-year-old men they're out of key. So that was a trouble for me. It was a very dark time in my life to have to go through that and be so prevalent
all over the country.
And let's say this too. Yeah. You're 16, you're rocking it out, you're a church rock star. Yeah. Okay, you needed somebody.
Yeah.
How easy is it for us to look up there and look at the people on the platform, and first of all, anybody on the platform, and think, they need nothing, they're all set, they have no problems, no issues, and to look at that and think, or to just make the assumption that you've already got all these people in place. How could you be doing so well, except the ability to play in A flat doesn't translate to how healthy I am in my heart?
That's right.
Right, so for us to recognize, if God prompts us to somebody, make the journey. Shall we lead? Shall we sing the bridge? Spirit,
yes,
lead me. No, okay. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, right? Yeah. Help me walk into spaces. And if we feel prompted and you look at someone on the keyboard and you're like, they must have it all set. Well, they don't, because none of us do. None of us do. And we all have these supports and we need these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it hasn't changed. It has not changed for me. When I found value in helping others, I also became open to be helped.
Because it is not a one-way valve.
It's not. It's not a one-way valve.
Not a one-way valve.
And you can develop trust issues, but if you will open yourself up. To this day, people don't know, and I have young Emma who's doing a great job. That's where you clap, guys.
Good job, Emma.
And young people that are on here, and I tell them all the time, to tell you, this is not a lie. I tell my sons, I'm nervous every time I get up here. Every time I'm about to sing, my mind is telling me the world is ending right now. So what do I do? And they'll tell you, my guys will tell you, before Sunday, I'm making connections with them and they're helping me and I'm being mentored. It's not even a hierarchy to that. It's not something condescending. To need to be talked to, Jesus was our Lord and Savior, and there was a time he was praying and he woke up and he's like, you guys are not with me? We all need that connection.
Yeah.
And so give what you need to receive. That's the principle that I try to live by when it comes to investment. I've been invested in, so I invest.
Yeah. It's a little absolute for me to say, but I would just toss out there that if we believe the relationship is a one-way valve, then we may not be the right person for that moment. We may need to go have a mentor, right? To recognize that it is one of the things that I think about when I'm teaching. I call it a learning community, where typically in most situations I find myself in, I have the microphone. That's just where it's come to. I'm teaching at the college, or I'm in front of the Next Step folks, or whatever. I've got the microphone, or here. But I see it as a learning community where I'm certainly speaking things, but wanting reciprocity, wanting feedback, wanting to learn as well, to continue to grow. And so yesterday, I ran a quick errand, and I called my pastor in the evening. He's 76. And I called him, and we talked. And our relationship is this. I ask him, obviously, for direction and insight, wisdom. And he also will run things by me. And I will say, well, this is what I would think here, do here. Or this is how I feel. I'll wake up some mornings and say, hey, I was praying this morning. I got this. This is the direction that I think your ministry needs to go. Telling him that. Because that's the relationship that he and I have cultivated through the years, right? It's not 6 weeks old. Right? It started in 1998, my relationship with this guy. He was actually my age. I told him this the other day. I'm 53 now. He was 53 when we started that relationship. And I told him the other day, I said, I cannot believe that I am the age that you were when we started this, because I certainly do not see myself now as I saw you back then, right? And just the realization of these dynamics. I want to read this verse one more time, and then I'm going to ask you to pray over us, okay? Let's see if this means anything different. Reading it now. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and where you'll end up being. And we can fill our lives with activity, or we can fill our lives with purpose, and I'm choosing purpose.
Heavenly Father, we recognize that anything we invest is coming, any good thing we have to invest comes from you. Father, help us to see with heavenly eyes as we invest. Lord, not to measure the way the world measures, not to invest for earthly return. Father, but trusting that your storeroom is the place where our heart should be. Father, that my heart will follow my treasure, not my treasure follows my heart. So Lord, give me the courage to be open-handed with everything that you give me, the words of life that you have spoken into me, with the acts of grace that have been shown me, Father, for the way that your life and your son's life has been demonstrated to me by so many people. And Lord, we trust that your word does not come back void, amen. That your spirit is not weak,
amen.
That you keep your promises. Lord, I know you do all those things. So we follow you in Jesus' name.
So earlier this week, I shot Arnick a text and I said, I want us to close with this song. If you are mentoring someone right now, you're investing in somebody, think of that person. If you feel like there might be someone that it's a growing investment, a growing connection, think of that person. If the Lord drops someone on you right now, or even as we're singing, think of that person. But as we sing this song, it's called The Blessing. And as we sing this song, I want you to pray, if you will, pray blessing into that person. Pray blessing over that person. Blessing around them. The Lord wants to send us into those spaces. Let's let His Spirit go before us. Let's sing this.
Thank you. believe be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you.
That blessing, Lord, is such a gift to be able to extend your blessing from my life that you have poured into me and to others. We thank you that your fountain never goes dry, that we can overflow with hope and peace and share that with as many people. We cannot pour out faster than you pour in. So we praise you for that. Thank you, Jesus. This week, there's some opportunities for you to connect with people and maybe both give and receive. This week, we have a men's fellowship breakfast on Saturday, the 30th. So come, you can sign up. Church Center app looks like that. Little guys eating breakfast there. Also, Pursuing Passion for Jesus. Peggy opens her home for that, and you ladies can connect and pour into each other. And maybe there's somebody that you could invite that needs poured into or that has poured into you. And you can enjoy that time together. But Church Center app give you details for all of those. So I hope you can connect to that. That's also a place that you can give. Or you can give old-fashioned way. We got it in the boxes in the back. You can do it online, all sorts of ways to give there. But all those are outflows of what God has poured into us. So thank you for being here. For those of you who have been here a lot know that freedom is one of our key things that we do. It's a small group curriculum. And if you've been through that, we are beginning to prep for the retreat weekend. And so we're making teams. Also on the Church Center app, you can go and register for that to help us form teams and who will serve in what way. So all those things, we're going to start doing teams by Tuesday. So if you've been through that and can register soon, that would be really appreciated. And all those things, opportunities that continue to allow the opportunities for us to continue to share what the Lord has given us into others. So find one that this week. It could be a simple conversation with somebody at work. It could be a simple conversation with somebody in line at the grocery store. It could be eye contact in a car ride with somebody who just cut you off. You have opportunities to extend the grace of God into this world and make his kingdom known. May this week be that for you. In Jesus' name. See you guys.